Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Tuesday, February 9th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
We have David Krieger joining us this afternoon for the second and third segment of the program today. So we're anxious to have him. We're going to be talking a little bit about the gold market and, of course, gold and silver coins. And this sort of leads into the question or follows through from the question we had yesterday from the caller about him purchasing silver items just at random. I think it works for him, but you really have to do what's suitable for you. And I've seen random portfolios of precious metals. And I think you're so much better if you have more of a planned portfolio based on your objectives. And overall, you end up paying less. You get a better quality portfolio, and most likely you'll get more money when you go to sell it. And things that are highly recognizable and acceptable. We're going to be talking about all these things, and Al and I will be talking on what's kind of gone on in the world today, and particularly Japan overnight. But first, let's get to the gold market. Gold was a little quiet today, 1190 off its high. You know, it's trying to attack that 1200 number, but we knew it would find some resistance there. So we're at 1190 today. Silver is down 7 cents at 1534. We have platinum up $6 at 935. And palladium was also up one at $518. And it was interesting first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is I turn on the financial news programs. I have to see where gold and the markets and the world markets do. And, of course, the paper markets were down significantly. Gold was higher. And it's interesting because they're all talking about gold. Mainstream is talking about gold. Analysts are saying gold is going to go higher, much, much higher. And, so it's beginning to attract some attention. But then again, you have pressure on the USDX today, down 0.64, 96.03, and that's off its lows of the day. And again, the other big story, crude oil got hit once again, 1.21 at 28.48. And the paper markets today, the Dow basically unchanged. They're keeping it at 16,000. They're struggling to keep it above the 16,000. It was up, it was down 12 points at 16,014. And it was down triple digits most of the day. And now they're talking about, oh, you'll see the market reverse itself around 11:30, you know, because that's when Europe closes. You know, 11:30 Eastern time, Europe closes at that time. And of course, we talked, you know, quite a bit yesterday about the banking system in Europe and, you know, how their shares are going down significantly. It's all over basically for Europe. NASDAQ was down 14 points at 42.68. The S&P was down one at 18.52. 10-year yield, 1.73%. And of course, we all know the euro is stronger, 1.13, up 0.84. And Chesapeake Energy, that's down another 4.5%, 1.95 is its value, share value. And of course, everyone is still saying, oh no, they're not going to file bankruptcy. It just cracks me. They'll file bankruptcy, you know, while they're coming out of the bankruptcy court and saying, no, we didn't file. We didn't file. What say you, Al?
I'd say it's business as usual.
Business as usual in the world of la-la land.
They don't need to file bankruptcy. All they need to do is pack their bags and move to a country without extradition. Take as much money as they can grab on the way out and, you know, live in a tropical climate. I don't honestly expect that to happen, but, you know, this is like, this is... It's people just lie and they lie and they lie, and it's annoying. It's just it's offensive. It's not just because you know you may not like lies. It's like, good God, it's just standard. Tell a lie. Get any kind of trouble, tell a lie, tell a lie, tell a lie, 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 lie.
The bad thing, Al, is you get in trouble if you tell the truth.
I
like, what's wrong with that picture?
Flip side of the same coin.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just offensive. I don't care whether Chesapeake lives or dies, succeeds or fails, prospers or bankrupts.
Well,
makes no difference.
You know, you might not. But there's a lot of people who have that in their 401s. It's chosen for them, and a lot of people do have it, and a lot of people do care about it.
Well, I'm not.
I mean,
I'm
it's not the only one.
I'm not, in that group.
Well, I understand that. It's not the only one that has dropped significantly, but it's one that is, it's a large one where a lot of folks hold it in their retirement accounts. And again, the point is, folks, yeah, these things can go to zero, and your gold will not. This is why you have to own gold and silver, because some of the biggest and strongest shares and companies out there, again, the ones that the ones that are being touted as strong companies are being placed in your 401, your retirement accounts, they will go to zero. That is my point, Al. So it is important. It's also important that Japan's Nikkei, they had the largest drop in a long time, Al.
Several years, something like 5.4% one day.
Yeah, 900 points.
Mm-hmm. And it's more evidence. And when did this happen? It happened right after, it happened within a week or so after Japan announced that it was going to set its interest rates to zero and or go negative on these things. And it worked. The markets jumped up there for a couple of days. They had 2 days of rise in the markets, and everybody said, yay! And then it started falling, and now it's just more evidence that the Japanese are lowering interest rates. And their economy is cratering. Their markets, at least, are cratering. And the United States, Janet Yellen and whatever, the Federal Reserve raised interest rates by a quarter of a point last December, 7-8 weeks ago. And result, markets are cratering. And the point is, the markets are going down regardless of whether the implication from these two leaves in the breeze. It's not proof, but it's evidence. The indication is that if you raise interest rates, markets go down. If you lower interest rates, markets go down. Couple of implications. One, we are caught in the forces of some sort of a depression style, at least a recession and perhaps a depression. That's point one. Point two, the central banks of the world seem unable to deal with the problem. They tinker with the interest rates, doesn't help. They tinker with quantitative easing, injecting money into the economy, doesn't help. Well, it may have prevented a depression up until now, but it hasn't stimulated the economy anywhere. Where we've all of a sudden, the European economy, the Japanese economy, the American economy, Chinese economy, which one has started to chugga, the little engine that could because of quantitative easing? The implications, central banks have lost control. And there's not much left for them to do. They talk about using negative interest rates as another tool that's available. It is not another tool that's available. It's another straw that can be grasped at by entities that may be drowning. I say, I got an idea. We're drowning. We're all going down the whirlpool. Quantitative easing doesn't work. Interest rates don't work. Let's have negative interest rates. And maybe then we won't drown. But I think the negative interest rates are perhaps the last attempt we'll see, the last mechanism we'll see out of the Federal Reserve or the Bank of Japan or any other central banks to somehow stop the economies from slowing, declining, and probably heading toward a depression. There are forces at work they can't seem to deal with, and so blah, blah, blah. What do? Protect yourself. Protect yourself. Protect yourself. You know? So how do you protect yourself, Melody? Do you think Dave Krieger will have any ideas on how to protect ourselves?
Well, as I mentioned, he supplies product. You know, I purchased product from him, and, we've had a long-time relationship, and I think listeners always enjoy hearing someone else talk about a little bit of gold and silver and from the wholesale side of things, not the retail as myself. So, absolutely. And you're right, Al. Central banks have lost control. And, they're trying everything possible they can to keep it going. And what does Japan do anymore? I mean, we certainly know they have an aging population, but what do they make anymore?
Well, if they make robots, they could get
Toyotas.
By with an aging.
I mean, how many Toyotas can you buy?
Well, there's one other thing, though. Japan has an aging population. They don't have enough children. The young people are not having children at sufficient rate to restore the population. They're in big demographic trouble. But what is going to happen in Japan if they create enough robots to replace, supplement the youth they need to keep the economy going? I mean, it is conceivable that a population of senior citizens could survive if they had enough robots. Right? Don't need to breed. Don't need to populate. I mean, it's stupid, and eventually you're going to regret that decision, but it's one of the things, if I were in Japan, I would be investing in robots. Manufacturers, finding manufacturers who really have an advantage and seem like they're likely to go far in robots. If I were inclined to invest in stock, I'm not. I don't believe in the paper promises. But if I were, robots would be one of the things I'd be looking at very seriously. In this country, we're going to get robots, but we don't need them the same way because we have what we lack in our birth rate we make up for with illegal aliens and immigrants. Well, we've got enough young people and poor people willing to work at virtually sub-minimum wage. In theory, even then, they can't compete with the robots, but they're here. We got them.
Well, who's to say Japan's going to be making robots? It's going to be China that's going to be making them.
It might be. But regardless, Japan, in theory, will be able to buy them. I mean, this whole thing about robots is, I saw a report last week where we talked about it between break. I don't think we talked about it on the radio program, but one of the major warehouses, something like Amazon, I don't know if that's what it was, they're using robots, and the robots are 800% more productive than people. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't compete with that. There's no way you can resist. You have to. If your competitors are using robots, you better get some in a hurry or you're going to be out of business. You can't compete against another corporation who has an 800% advantage in labor. You got to have them. The financial, the mathematics of robots is something that's simply irresistible. And it points toward huge, incredible problems and changes. We may be heading toward a war. What do you? I mean, it raises all kinds of questions. What do you do with people who don't have jobs? Just put them all on welfare, knowing that robots are replacing more and more of us. The Guidestones in Georgia, they wanted the. You've all heard about them. You probably haven't looked at them too closely, but they are monolithic stones, 10, 15 feet high, and they are carved words and whatever in the stones. They've been there since 1990. One of their objectives is to reduce the population of the world to 500 million people. That means they are anticipating somebody out there. Nobody knows who put those stones up there. Nobody knows who paid for them, or at least the public doesn't know. Someone is planning one way or another to eliminate 93% of the population of the world. That's their solution. We'll wind up with 7% of the current population. And it's not an impossible situation in a world where robots are possible, sophisticated, and we're getting to that place. We're coming to that pretty quickly. So another one where robots are harvesting heads of lettuce.
Heads of lettuce, we talked about that on the program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's that mean? It means if you're wearing a sombrero and you're coming up here thinking you're going to pick crops, guess what? That's going to be, it may be another 10 years before all of the braceros, for example, are removed. And the need for them, or most of them, are removed from agricultural, from farms. But that's where we're going. Oh, good grief. This is going to change the world in ways that have been never been seen before. They're breaking the bond between employment and productivity, and they're saying, and income. They're saying, you don't have to work. For the moment, they're saying, you don't have to work. We'll support you anyway. And we have that in the form of welfare for the poor right now and subsidies for the rich. But it's a relatively small percentage of the population that's being subsidized without working. We're coming to a time, we get enough robots working around here, there won't be jobs for most of us. What do we do with all the extra people? Can we afford to carry them? Or do they have to be eliminated? I guarantee there's some people say they have to be eliminated, and the people who think we can carry them, I don't know. We'll watch and see. Strange, and interesting times we live in. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements, and Dave Krieger will be with us in just a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, I'd like to introduce David Krieger, and he is one of my suppliers. He's president of Hobson NBT, Florida corporation. He's been in the numismatic area in the wholesale business for almost 20 years or over 20 years. David, welcome to the program.
Hey, Melody. Great to be with you.
Hello, Al. David.
Yeah. Hi, Al. And yeah, it is. It's 20 years this year.
Oh. I'm working on 22.
Me too. I'll soon be old enough to, as soon as I get to be 21, I can drink.
You can drink?
Yeah. That's great.
Well, you know, David, yesterday... Al, did you have anything you wanted to talk to David about before we start talking?
Go ahead, Al. I will interrupt. I'll interrupt soon enough, Melody. Don't encourage me.
Yeah, I know you will.
Uh-huh.
Well, David, we've certainly seen a good rise in gold. I mean, we all know that it's suppressed and held down, and we're just waiting for it to take off. Not sure what the main catalyst is going to be to move it, but it certainly had some nice returns here in the last couple of weeks, and certainly a lot of pressure on the stock market and the world markets for that matter. Do you have any thoughts and ideas of what you see gold doing this year?
Well, I don't. I don't have any kind of a crystal ball, but as I think I've said and shared on the program before, is that every economic indicator just seems to me to be indicating that instability is going to continue. The cycle that we've been going through in the stock market is scaring people. And even I think in the political campaigns, I think you see the what's being unsettled.
Yeah, that is kind of scary. The political campaigns, they've got some scary candidates up there.
Well, but, you know, listen to the people that are out there. They're afraid. And I think that's good. And for the gold market, I think that people are beginning to look around. And on the wholesale business, we've really been picking up quite a bit. And my sense is, from talking to the various dealers, is that they are having a fair number of new people come in who are, kind of asking those initial questions like, hey, what should I do? And I'm getting concerned about, what's going on with our money and all this stuff. And the arguments seem to be very consistent that they're concerned and they want to do something. To put just a little bit away that perhaps is a hedge against inflation or a little bit of confidence that in case something happens to the money supply. And I think that's really good for us.
Do you think the number of people who are concerned is likely to grow significantly in the near future? The reason I'm asking that, gold's always been a safe haven or regarded as such. And when things get difficult, people they back away and they say, this is safety, so I'm going to gold. It's almost surprising. It's been surprising to me, at least for a number of years, how much trouble there is in the world with oil in the Middle East and China and the United States and Russia and one thing another. Like, all the trouble you can see out there, are you a little surprised that it's taking so long for the American people to wake up and get gold?
Well, I am. The thing is, though, that I think a lot of people have been turned off. They see on television, all these spokespeople coming up. You got to buy gold, got to buy gold. And unfortunately, a lot of them call those places, and then they find out what they're really asking, and it kind of scares them off the market. I think that as people, these new people are coming in, and they buy from, good, reliable people are going to be there. Melody's a classic example of this. I think that we're going to see it spread a little bit more. I'm kind of bullish about this. I know that I'm making more sales in smaller amounts at a time, which are obviously going to new customers. And that's been kind of a thing I've been tracking for a while. And over this last month, it's really been quite amazing.
Well, what else have you seen? I mean, we've seen this. Well, first off, let's talk a little about interest rates. The Federal Reserve raised interest rates by 0.25% in December, mid-December. And since then, we've seen the market suffer a significant downward spike. We've seen gold enjoy a significant upward spike, maybe not a spike, but certainly a rise.
Hmm.
Can we trace both of these events to that change in interest rates, or is this more of a coincidence? Are we dealing with is gold going up for fundamental reasons, or is gold going up because the Federal Reserve raised interest rates by 0.25%?
Yeah, I can't answer that. I really don't know. I've felt for a long time that there's an awful lot of manipulation that goes on in some of these purchases, and I think that what we're going to see, though, is when you have that interest rate starting to go, people feel it. They feel it in their stock market, and they're saying, "Oh my golly, what's going on here?" I can't tell you how many friends of mine are sitting there that one of their first things out of their mouth is, "Hey, how's your 401k?" And they start laughing. I mean, it's not funny. A lot of people have lost a lot of money there. And that does cause people to look around and say, "Well, okay, what about things?" And where a lot of it's coming is in the silver market. The American Silver Eagles are doing really well, and it's a good starting point for a lot of people, and so we've been seeing a lot of those going out.
Well, you said you've seen a lot of new people come into the market, and they're asking fundamental questions that you could expect from a beginner, right?
Yes,
for lack of a better term.
What else do you see, if anything, about the demographics of the people that are coming in? Is it across the board, young, old, middle-aged, everybody's? I mean, is it openly, is it mostly elderly people? Is it mostly young people? Where do you see most of these new buyers, the new market for gold? Where is it emerging?
Well, I think there are some middle-aged, affluent people who are getting on board with the idea that they aren't the wolf of Wall Street. They've been burned, and they have money, and they're trying to look. They want diversification, and they've been reading about it, and they're looking at it, and they're coming in, and they're asking the dealers, okay, I've got $50,000, or I got $100,000, or $25,000. What should I do with it? And my sense is the dealers are fairly good and telling those people, hey, look, there are no firm rules. There are a number of products that are available to buy in the gold or silver market that are good, and a lot of it's your own, up to your own personal desires and your own personal goals. And they say, well, what does that mean? And so the dealers will talk about the advantages of bullion. Obviously, it's a more inexpensive way to get in, and in difference to numismatic coins, but 2 years ago, when gold was at 1,800, and gold went down to 1,090, whatever it was, that's an $800-some difference, and that is felt directly on the price of a bullion coin. They talk about the fact that in certified coins, there is a numismatic value, but when gold drops like it did from 1,800 to 1,000, those values don't drop quite as much. And I've got some statistics to back that up. But so they talk about that, and they talk about the fact that in some cases, having a piece of American history in terms of a certified coin, it is something that's a treasure. I particularly see that in the last couple of weeks, believe it or not. People are listening to the various debates, and on the Republican side, they're stressing what America is, and some of the dealers have been picking up the fact that, well, we have Liberty $20 gold pieces in St. Gaudens. These are not in quantity, but a couple here, a couple there are great reminders of what our history was in terms of money, and it's a beautiful piece, and there's a story that goes with them. And then finally, I think that the dealers feel very strongly that silver is a good initial buy and a good way to accumulate a good stock of precious metals, and they're doing it. And we all know there's nothing more beautiful than some of the coins that are out. The American Silver Eagle has certainly been popular, and it is a great thing. The disadvantage to Silver Eagles is once you get several hundred of them, they get a little harder to store than the counterparts in gold. So that's a consideration for some people.
Well, you can jump in on silver, and it doesn't cost a lot to take an interest. And to some degree, I think you kind of have to. It's not if you're completely new to precious metals. You need to, people are inclined to maybe just dip their big toe in and find out if it's hot or cold. And yeah, so they can risk a little bit on silver. It doesn't have to be a fortune. They kind of plant a flag. They take an interest in the market. They begin, once you own something, you actually pay closer attention to what's happening in the market. You begin to learn more. You study more once you own,
One of the things that I'm kind of proud of now, I'm a wholesaler, and I don't really deal with the public, but I belong in Florida to a fairly large church. It's got something like 12,000 members to it. And one of the pastors up there is a young guy, and he deals with young married and college age kids. And he has been encouraging his kids to buy a portion of silver. And we sent him to one of the real dealers, and he He has had, I don't know, 50, 60 young people all getting their American Silver Eagles or whatever. And he's been doing this now for several years. And a lot of those young kids who would never have thought about it before have actually made money, appreciated their holdings, and it's been a real lesson for them. I like that. I think that's really great. And it's right with what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's interesting that the people going to church will take advice from their minister. Right? Take financial advice essentially from their minister. They might not be trusting the people, you know, that just are in the business, but they are trusting their minister. That's the implication, a little bit more, right? People do have to be wary, and there is deception in the market. There are con artists and whatever. How do you tell who you can trust and who you can't trust when it comes to buying gold? You must have observed some sort of signals and a little bit of, you know, this, watch out for this. If you see this, stay away or be very wary. On the other hand, you see this over here, that's a good signal. You can probably trust the individual. Do you have any rules on who you can trust, who you can't?
Well, I see it, from the opposite side as one who serves different dealers. There are some that I don't care to do business with because if they are going to misrepresent themselves to me, I can only imagine that they're doing the same thing with their customers. And so there's always that. Any experienced wholesaler has a list of people that don't come to them because they know they're not going to get anything. Most commonly is a lot of people aren't aware that of the simple factor of figuring out, well, what's the melt value of what I'm buying, and, you know, does it make sense what I'm paying over it? The other question is, and most importantly is, boy, what an alarm bell if somebody wants you to pay in advance and says they can't get it for 3 or 4 weeks and they hold you out there for a month. That's not good. Almost every case of a dealer that's been found to be practicing bad business practices has always been that person that takes money and doesn't deliver the product.
One of the other signs, David, are low prices. You can't sell something at wholesale. There's a company.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Sure. Look at the guy on the internet that was he 120 million short when he went out of business. I mean, unbelievable. Remember that one?
I know there's one on there now that when I do my own comparisons online just to make sure that I'm, you know, my prices are, you know, right there. There's one on there that, and I get questioned all the time, well, what about this company? They're, you know, $30 lower or less. Well, they're wholesale prices, and it won't be long until problems become noticeable. And
my favorite one in the last little while was the guy I sent you the email story on, Melody, was he was an Army captain with a full ride scholarship at the University of Florida, who decided to start a coin company, and he did. He took $1.2 million from various people, continued the business when he got his commission and went to some school in Oklahoma. And the final thing that he did, they found out that he claimed that all the coins were lost in the mail.
Oh, my God.
He got 6 years. He's in 6 years in federal penitentiary. But, I mean, there's people like $1.2 million. Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, we're getting ready to go to break, and I have a question for you. And, you know, we're going to talk about that just a little bit longer. Breakout?
Yeah, let's take the break, and we'll bring the question on in about 2.5 minutes. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom and our guest David Krieger. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Our guest is David Krieger, gold and silver coin wholesaler. And we're getting a look at the market from the perspective of wholesaler, the wholesaler business, wholesale business. And Melody, you had a question you wanted to ask David.
Question, comment. You know, when I got in the business so many years ago, there was only a handful of us that dealt nationally. You could count them on one hand. After 2008, yes. Actually after 2010, 2011, and because of the internet, there's many more that have come to this area of gold and silver. You know, because they know where gold and silver is going. And so there's a lot of new businesses that opened. And I see that oftentimes as lack of experience in a heated market that we have seen. And I think once we get back to where we were and you have that, the main populace back into buying gold and silver, in a manic type manner, which I do predict, and product very difficult to get a hold of, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to, I believe, either, you know, won't get delivered, they won't get the products that they ordered, because there's going to be a lot of new people, not saying all of them, you know, but certainly it increases the chances of that happening. I mean, it happened before in all these little peak markets we had going up prior to the year 2000, and certainly after 2008, you know, we saw the same thing. You know, people just calling, wanting gold. They need it. They want it today, and silver. The next thing you know, they get phone calls. Well, you know, we don't have that product. And, you know, blah blah blah. Here's something else,
yes.
Or you don't, or they don't even get the phone call. They just get the new product.
Yeah. Well, to what extent is the market dependent on the wholesaler's ability to provide? And what I mean by that is how many people are taking orders for gold and silver, and they're taking orders, and but they don't necessarily have the gold and silver in stock. They take the order, and then they call you, and they presume you're going to have that gold and silver. What are the chances that you're going to see a time when, they're going to take the order, and they're going to call you, And next thing you know, you're going to say, sorry, we don't have any.
Well, that does happen, but, how would I say this in the right way? The people that I provide for are really proven long-term people. And while Melody was talking, two things came to mind. One is that I really wanted to almost interrupt Melody and say, virtually every one of your customers ought to be talking to someone else and saying, hey, if you're going to do this, I know who to go to. You're a proven person. You've been there. You're going to be there tomorrow. You were there yesterday and 20 years ago or 22 years ago. You and I have done business for, 18 years, 15, 16, 17 years at least. And that's an important part of it. Yeah, there are shortages sometimes, but most dealers that I deal with will, give me a call, say, hey, what's the best thing? What can I offer my customers? And they're not doing it from just altruistic reasons of, trying to be really great to their customers, but they have to provide in a short time what they say they're going to provide, because most customers send money in advance. It's kind of like going to a bank where, you go up to the bank teller and you say, here's my $20 bill. Could I have two tens back? You don't go in there and say, give me two tens and I'll send you 20 later on. I mean, that's the way the business works. The second part is if you look up on the internet and you say cartoon, there will always be someone who says they can do it cheaper. There's a great cartoon on the internet. It's this big mammoth guy, and he's got a tattoo artist working on his back. And the big guy's got this picture of this beautiful winged horse that's leaping through the air. And the tattoo artist has got something that looks like a stick diagram that maybe a four-year-old would drive. And basically it says there will be always someone who says they can do it cheaper. And that's what we see on the internet. And that's what Melody was getting to a little while ago. In this business, you get paid, you pay for exactly what you get. And people advertise these get you in the door type things, the loss leader. And then they're almost, guaranteed they're going to jump the prices later on. And that is something that Melody's doesn't do and good dealers don't do. And we need to be a little bit sensitive to. Does that answer it at all?
Absolutely. I wanted to make that point because there are a lot of new dealers out there since 2011. This market, and that's okay. Competition is great. The more the competition, the greater. But things have changed.
Let me say this, Melody, in 22 years of looking at coins, I bet you have a good appreciation for what a good coin looks like against what it isn't. And you're the check. When you ask for certain coins from me, I'm going to pick out the best coins that I can pick out for you and send them to you. But you're that before it goes to your customer, what do? You look at those, and if they have to meet your standard. And that's important. There's a lot of people that don't have a clue. And they're in there, let me sell these coins. And they do it. That guy in law school I was talking about, believe it or not, he actually was a law student. He actually got his degree and was a judge advocate general in the Army. And he took $1,000,000 too. There's no guarantee about that. You have to have an eye for good coins, and you have to have the ethics to be able to provide and take care of your customers well, or else you're going to be a one-shot business. And obviously in 22 years, you're not, Melody, and there are good dealers like you out there. And that's the strength of this business.
Mm-hmm. So you should be looking for a track record when you choose a company where you're going to buy some gold or silver. You're wanting someone who has a track record, who's been there, and not just who doesn't simply subscribe to get yourself a website and be a dealer too.
Yeah.
Because anybody can build these websites. And if you're good at it, you can build a very sophisticated and professional-looking website, and it doesn't have
it looks like there's something substantial there, and there's nothing there. There's nothing behind it.
That's right. Well, I'm sitting here as I'm talking to you. I've got a $20 Saint, a $20 Liberty Head Double Eagle in front of me. They're what are called raw coins. They're just open. I can handle them. And I'm sitting here looking at it. I mean, you know, some people really think that's great. Hey, like, let me buy some 20 Saints, 20 Libs, and people will sell it to them. But you got to have somebody that, you know, knows how to pick out those coins so that when they come to them, there's something you can show to your spouse and say, hey, look, honey, this is what we just spent $1,500 on. And you want her to say, wow, that really is great, man. This will look good, you know, passing down to the kid or whatever, you know. But you want a positive response. You want your own response to be positive. And I can't tell you that every dealer out there is motivated to really give the strongest possible coins at the grade or what they're doing. And I think you really got to you know, find that person that does it, and is backed up by a wholesaler that'll provide that good stuff to them.
The point being that there's a range of quality in the gold coins.
Sure.
And you and I can look at a coin and say it's worth X number of dollars, and someone else can look at it and say it's worth a lot less or a lot more.
Well, I'm sending,
so what you're talking about is you want somebody that you can buy from who will give you a fair price. They understand the quality of the coin, and they will give you a fair price for that quality.
Yeah.
As opposed to someone who'll take something that's pretty scuffed up and beaten up and say, oh, no, this one's worth the full price. And perhaps,
well, today,
sell it
today
to the
for
unaware.
Instance, I'm sending Melody a shipment, and in that shipment is a 65 Saint. And the Saint, I was supposed to have sent it out a couple of days, Friday, but I knew there were some new coins coming in. The Saint that she's getting, to me, is very close to a 66 that I have. But in comparison, they look a lot alike. So she's getting a really nice coin, and the customer who gets it's going to really be happy, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, your point, Al, if you take 163 or 64 Saints and you lay them out on the table, you're going to find a portion of those that you're going to sit there and look at and say, my gosh, you know, those are 63s? And then you're going to look at some and say, wow, those look like 64s or 65s. Those are the kind of coins you want to send to dealers who are dealing with the public. You take the ones that aren't so strong and you can do those to other wholesalers who sell to people who just want to accumulate gold and they don't really care. And so there's a little bit of art in the business and the wholesale side of knowing, you know, where he can go with this quality coin against where you want to go with the best quality coins.
Well, you know, too, David, it goes back to the relationship. We try to build relationships with our clients, and it's the same way with my wholesalers and with you.
Yes.
We build a relationship over these years. You know, and there are dealers out there that probably have relationships with you, too. They don't care what product they receive. You know, they'll just ship it out into their customers, and they don't look at the quality bit with you. And the reason I like to do business with you is because you know what I will accept.
Yes.
And this is unspoken, you know, what I'll accept. And I know what you're going to send me.
Yes.
And it won't be anything less than that, because if it does, I just send it back to you and say, you know, can you replace this? And you do. So
yes.
That's
And it's
the
been
key
a long
thing.
Time since we've had to do
yeah.
that.
But yeah.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. So that's something that we go the extra mile, you know, with our clients. So it is, we do have protocols in place to check the quality of product that
yeah.
people receive.
Yes.
You know, some people predict that the price of gold will soon go to $3,000 or $5,000, $10,000, even $50,000 an ounce.
Yeah.
Do you think any of those predictions are simply irrational and just not going to ever happen?
You know, Al, I routinely never go there. I don't know. I have no insight. I think it's very difficult for anybody to tell somebody that's interested in buying coins, oh yeah, this is a good deal because gold's going to go to $3,000 an ounce. I don't know, and I don't think we ought to go there. What I do, and I think it's interesting, is I have a portfolio of a person that I helped in 2009 and 11, and I did it. Because he was a friend of mine, and he bought a fair amount of stuff, and I track what that purchase was, and he basically put in about $514,000 in precious metals. And today, if he were to sell out of it, he would be down about $37,000, and he's at about $477,000. But that is based on the difference between, and in there is like 4,000 silver eagles and a lot of other goal that came up, and I don't want to go into the specifics of it, but even with a significant difference in the price of gold, his portfolio is down, but he's got every bit of, he's well positioned for the future. And if gold rises back up, his break even point is at gold at around 1700, and he'll be money afterwards. So I don't talk to him about the fact that gold may go to 3,000, but I talk to him and say, when you look at this, are you comfortable that gold is going to increase sometime in the next 3 to 5 years? And he's pretty comfortable about that. And he's looking at it as having been very smart in what he did. And I think that's the way you have to look at it. Not as what's going to go, is gold going to be 15,000 ounce, but to look at it, is it still there? Is it still a store of value? Is it my insurance policy? And in this particular case, this guy isn't going to live off that money. He's going to distribute it. He's going to distribute it to his heirs, and he's going to distribute it by an endowment. And he's got a lot of plans for it that essentially will never be cashed in by him.
Well, there's a good chance that as compared to other investments right now that he might have made at the same time, even though he's down with gold to some degree, some of the alternative investments he might have done worse. But that's a subject we're going to have to leave for another time because we're out of time.
Yeah.
I'm Alfred Addis here with
Melody
Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and our guest is David Krieger. I want to thank David for joining us on the program. Look forward to talking to him again. Okay, folks, we're out of here. Good night. Good afternoon. I want to thank all of you for listening. Hope you'll tune in tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank the producer, and David Krieger. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? There never seems to be a single penny left for me. Last year's back.